music.
I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing until you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken people, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing until you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Yes, you've given life to me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Have all this world, just give me Jesus.
die, Lord, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Lord, when I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me
This is good. She saw me 3 days ago. But I got to do what I've been called to do. I gave Pastor Bruce my word. I was walking really fast. I was walking really well. Boy, the devil is so busy. Told him, okay, Pastor, I get Brother Jim to do the Sunday school because he do a great job at it. I go upstairs, meditate, get myself together. Man, about 3 or 4 days ago, like, what the hell happened to my foot? Oh, no, I'm good now. But if I fall, Roger, Craig, Gerald, y'all the big ones, hey, don't let me lay down there too long. He'll pick me up. Amen. A stool. I'm good. Let the church say amen. Amen, amen again. Amen. You know, if I don't do this, Pastor Bruce is going to find out. I talked to him last night. Somebody's going to tell it. So, let me do that first. Get it out of the way. Then we'll move on, amen? Amen? I feel like going on. I feel like going on. Trials, they may come on every hand. Said I feel like going on. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I feel like going on. Anybody feel like praising God this morning? Amen. You feel like praising God? Amen. I feel like praising Him. Said I feel like praising Him. Though trials, they may come. Said I feel like praising Now tell the Lord thank you. And tell Pastor Bruce our song, okay? Amen, amen. You know, it's good to be here. And, you know, y'all, when y'all get through and haven't seen me in a while, but good morning, family worship center. It is a privilege as well as a plumb pleasing pleasure to be standing before you in the household of faith once again, amen. Many people you call, they can't answer today, but I'm here. It's been a long time, but I'm back in the saddle. Amen, amen. Now, whenever it comes to preaching or speaking, I got a motto that I like to stick by. And it goes like this. Stand up, speak up, shut up, and then sit back down. Amen. Amen. You know, they say we get long-winded sometimes, so we go do what, I'm going to still give you what thus says the Lord. Amen. Amen. To Pastor Bruce and Miss Debbie in the absence, keep doing your prayers. To all of our friends that are here today, all of God's people, saints, ain'ts too, if you're out there, you're at the right place to hear God's word. It is good to be here. Amen. Just for a moment, for those of you that like to have something, a subject on your head or theme, for today we're going to call this, keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Subtitle, stay focused. Stay focused. And when I was in theological seminary, they got what they call RQ, which stands for relative question. RQ. And that today would be, how do you stay focused? Proposition. They that keep their eyes on God will receive the ultimate reward. They that keep their eyes on God will receive the ultimate reward. Now, as we know for a fact, all this stuff that we're going through, COVID-19, coronavirus, this pandemic, a lot of people have found other ways of trying to get and obtain God's word. Churches are closed, not all of them. Closed for a while, some are trying to reopen with safety protocol in place. We have what we call on Facebook streaming live, where you're recording, like here we record when it was closed, and Eddie would upload it to the website. You can go and listen to it often as you want to. Technology has its way of causing people to think from different perspectives. Now, you might say, I don't need to come to church. I can listen to that Brother Drayton. I can hear Pastor Bruce, whoever, if I go to the website. And he can preach. I can, matter of fact, I can let him preach much as I want to hear him preach on the website. Just click on him. Click him on in the morning. Click on him again. Oh, I love what he said. Let me hear him again. Okay, I get that. I could be home, walking around in the kitchen, cooking, put him on, listen, streaming live. I understand that. But Eddie, if you pull up Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 23-25. I get that. I understand. But now, even in schools, right now I'm teaching from home. The kids are in the classroom during the summer. And I get some feedback from some of my kids saying, I don't like learning this way. Mr. Drayton, when you're coming back, I say, well, this is where we're at. This is where we are. And they're leaving, but they're not coming back where I work. Everybody don't learn that particular way. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I like that. Let us not to forget to assemble ourselves together. Amen. In other words, come to church so that you can encourage one another. Come to church. I didn't say it, it's up there. I'm not saying that you can't get some good word when a pastor is streaming live. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that you want to get encouraged from your brothers and sisters that are part of the royal family, come to church. Now, when the church was wide open, had to drag some people to church. Now the church got closed because of this virus. Oh, when they open the church back. Amen. Well, thank God. Pastor Bruce saw fit. Hey, we can't stay closed forever. We got to try this. We got to come and put safety procedures in place. If I'm here, it must be all right, because if I didn't think we're safe, I wouldn't be here. Let me tell you the truth. That's just the way it is. And that's not Bible. That's Drayton. I said it. As we move on, we find out that you got to stay focused. There's a lot of things out there that will cause you to lose your focus. You got to keep your eyes on the prize, which is Christ Jesus. You got to stay focused. Now, if you are a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. If you go out shooting deers, hogs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got that rifle, you see your prey, but you got blurred vision. More likely, you ain't going to shoot then, because you're probably going to miss him. But if you focus and get that bee right where you want it, where you can see him, there's a good chance while you focus on what you aim at, you will hit it. You got to stay focused. There's a lot of distractions out there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize and stay focused. As we move on, Eddie, if you pull up Mark, 5th chapter, verses 25-34. Let me get my helpers here. Mark 25-34, and it reads, all right, first of all, let me back up. We know that before we talk about this woman with the issue of blood, that Jairus was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was with the mother too, and Jairus saw Jesus, and he said, Jesus, I have a daughter that's home that's sick. I know for a fact that if you go to my house and lay hands on her, she'll be healed. So as Jesus began to move, and the crowd was going with him, I like to call this special woman. Verse 25 says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized that the healing power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing all around you. How can you ask, who touched me?
But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith had made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Now, if we look in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, the Leviticus law or priesthood said that during these times, Old Testament, if a woman's cycle was longer than normal, she was considered unclean. And if that befall upon you by being unclean, that means you had to be away from your family. Anything that you touched was considered unclean. The chair that you sat in was considered unclean. Now, this got to be very, 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 very bad to deal with. 12 long years, and yet you can't touch a hole or hug nobody because of your condition. But thank God for the New Testament. Thank God that this woman was focused. Thank God she had, I like to say, she was desperate and she was determined. I like to say desperation and determination. Sometimes desperate measures will cause you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. It'll make you go further than you thought that you can go. She was desperate. She had went from doctor to doctor and couldn't get any better. Spent up all her money and she couldn't get any better. Done everything that she can do and she couldn't get any better. 12 long, agonizing, painful years. I'm going to tell you about me. I don't know if I could have done it. I'd have been like one of them boxers. I'd have thrown the towel. Lord, come get me. I'm tired of this. But she was determined. And she heard about a man named Jesus that was passing by. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine this woman that gave everything she had? Probably thought this was a last opportunity. But see, God said that the faith of a mustard seed. I'm a country boy. Mustard seeds aren't that big. I done planted some. But I ate a whole lot of them too. But look. The faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. My grandmother, Geraldine Simmons, she taught me a song when I was a little boy. It said, "Lord, you don't have to move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb." It said, "Lord, you don't have to remove my stumbling blocks, but move, lead me all around." The ultimate result is that God is going to get me to the other side. Faith. This woman with this issue of blood that was going through all of this, I imagine she thought her time was winding up. But now, let me tell you something. During my days, during the AIDS pandemic, if you got AIDS, it was almost like a death sentence. A lot of folks said that, oh, there's a cure somewhere. I didn't believe it, but then here comes this, one of my favorite athletes, Magic Johnson, who came out and said that he was HIV positive. During this time, everybody that was HIV or had full-blown AIDS, they was dying, losing weight. But Magic Johnson, with all this money, I said, yeah, he got plenty of money. That's what, he done found something. He know what's out there. The average person can't go get it. No, that wasn't it. Magic was gaining weight, not losing weight. Technology and medicine have come a long ways. I know people personally that had full-blown AIDS that was in their hospice bed 20 years ago, and they're still living. God has the final say. I don't care what it is. There are a lot of us that are Christians that will get this COVID-19. There are a lot of people that get coronavirus that are not Christians. I like to call it a win-win situation. If God allows that to befall upon you and you are his child and he called you on home, then absent from the body is to be present with Almighty God if you are his child. If he decides to bring you out of this, he's doing it for a purpose. He's doing it for a reason. Folks are watching you. Look at so-and-so and so. He was on the deathbed, but look at him now. Look like he never been through nothing. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. This woman with this issue of blood here, she was so focused. If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to him, I'm desperate, I'm determined. I imagine though she was getting closer to Jesus, he was walking up. People might have been looking at her with cross eyes. She didn't care. Getting all these looks, she didn't care. She was determined and she was focused on Jesus. Our eyes was on Jesus. I gotta get to him. But see, there are a lot of things, a lot of people that will say things to you. Look at that woman. No, she ain't got no business around these people. She ain't got no business going between her. I imagine it was part like the Red Sea. They saw her coming up getting out of the way because she was unclean. She didn't care. I have a purpose. I'm focused. And I'm not just focused, I'm laser focused. Here I go again. If you got a gun for y'all hunters, and you got a laser on that bad boy, if everything is lined up like it's supposed to be, and if that red dot or that laser is on it, 99.99% of the time, it gonna hit its target. Then you got light and laser, light versus laser. Now, at night, when a plane is going up, I done tried it. You get a regular flashlight, shine it up, 10 foot can go. Nobody gonna say nothing to you. But you get a laser and point at a plane. Sir, did you point that laser up at that plane? The guy in front of that commercial pilot, he couldn't see, blindly messed him up. It's against the law. But laser focus means that you are point on. You're not worried. It's like a horse running a race and you put blinders on him. Why do they put blinders on the horse? Because they want him to stay focused on that finish line. Don't worry about what's going on over here, this horse over here. Don't worry about going on over here. We want you and that little jockey be hitting him. We want you to go that way and keep going that way and stay focused that way and keep going as fast as you can. We are focused on the finish line. This woman, that she kept getting close to Jesus. She kept going till she finally got to Jesus. When she reached out and touched him. Who touched me? Now, master, you got all these people thronging. That word thronging just means all over you. Hands everywhere, in the front, in the back, the side. And you will holler out, who touched you? All these people? All these hands? Jesus said, who touched me? This was a special touch. They felt the virtue, the power lead from me. See, that's the kind of touch I want. That's the kind of faith I want. I don't care if a whole lot of y'all be touching Jesus. I want to be the one that he realized, hey, Brother Drake touched me. I know who that is. I know where he stands. I know what he believes. God Almighty. When she touched him and she shed fears, she was afraid, she was frightened. But the Bible says this issue was immediately dried up. She was delivered. I like to say today, indeed, perilous time. There are a lot of people. See, this is why I the media, you just don't know what to believe. Young folks are not getting coronavirus. Well, now young folks are getting it. People were dying before the virus, okay? And they're gonna die after the virus. And what's happening is that I've seen where they had this guy that was in his late 80s or something that was battling this virus and came out of it. So don't tell me that God is dead. Don't tell me you can't come out of this. Then you got some folks that were younger than this guy that didn't make it out of it. So what to believe? I tell you what to believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that he's your Savior. You got to have faith in him. But you must have a personal relationship with him. Because just like this woman that was desperate and determined, she could have easily turned away. She could have easily got sidetracked. But she stayed focused on Jesus. When you stay focused and you run this race that we call life, you must realize sometimes you're going to fall down on what I like to call the banana peel of life. You're going to slip. Some things are going to happen because we're not perfect. We don't live in a perfect world. But it does not mean you have to stay there. Donna McLaughlin, the great gospel singer, wrote a song that we fall down, but we get back up again. Amen, somebody. I wish I could sing like him. Don't ever, ever give up. A friend of mine said, well, brother preacher, if you ever give up, then that's it for you. I like to say, you might give out, but don't ever give up. Because when you give out and done all you can, trust me, God will step in if he wants to. But when you give up, you're saying, that's it. You're throwing it in the towel. Right when you give up, your blessing might be right there. No, but you gave up. As we move on a little further, like I said, I'm just a little country boy. I talk a little loud. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Y'all might not care. Pastor Bruce, don't let him get back up here no more. That's fine. Now, as we move on, we realize that this woman was laser focused and she was delivered from this 12 long years of issue of blood. Now, if you turn to Matthew 14 chapter, verses 22 to 32. Amen. Now, Matthew 14 chapter. I know that we've all seen this, know about it, know about Peter, know about Jesus walking on the water. But let me tell you something first. We'll read it. We all know it. Now, after I read this, I said to myself, a lot of preachers, they get hyped up about Jesus walking on the water. No. If he is who he say he is, which is God in the flesh, he should be able to walk on water. I'm amused and I'm amazed. But I expect that out of God. Now, you want to get my attention as I kept reading and you got my attention. Peter walked on the water. Now you got my attention. Amen. An omnipotent God, he defies gravity. If you want to fly in the sky like Superman, God can do it. But now if I see Craig out there, oh, Lord, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Wait a minute. That brother Craig, hell, see, now I'm amazed. You know what I'd be doing? Camping out of his house. I'd be camping right at his house to find out what's going on with you, brother. How can you do that? Amen. Matthew 14 chapter, verses 232. It says, now, let's back up. I'm going to just tell you, you stay right there. Before that, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He had just fed the multitude, all right? And we move fast forward. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples go back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. See, it's good to go by yourself and pray sometimes. You know, you don't have to pray around a whole lot of people. It's good to pray when you're alone. The Bible says that Jesus will reward you openly what you do in secret. Pray. I'll tell everybody what you're praying for. Amen. Amen. There are some things I pray about. I don't want y'all to know I'm praying about it. It's between me and him. Amen. Yeah, y'all, all y'all ain't telling all your business. I ain't the only one. Amen. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciple was in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, that's that Peter boy, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. He began to sink. It didn't say he sank, he began to sink. Big difference. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" So they climbed into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God." Now, if you go back to the beginning of this, if you look at Mark 6, 45 through 52, don't worry about it. Don't turn to that. It also talks about Jesus walking on water. It's not about Peter. Look at John. And one of those scriptures said that Jesus was walking past the boat expecting as though he was going to be walking by the boat. He saw them, they was in trouble. But according to Matthew, can you imagine these disciples out there that time of morning, 3 o'clock? At 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm at home. I'm probably snoring. They was out in the middle of this boat, rowing hard. And I imagine they was rowing and wasn't getting anywhere. Or rowing was making very little progress. Or rowing just like a drunk man, taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps backwards. Amen, somebody. It would take you forever to get where you're trying to go. I see you, Steve. And hard. Can you imagine the muscles was aching? How hard it was for them to row and to keep going. And you're out there tired, and this time of morning, you see something. It could be a mirage. But it looked like a ghost. It was Jesus walking on the water. I saw this show that was called Science versus Christianity or something. And one of the questions was, did Jesus really walk on water? One of the school of thoughts was that there were rocks on the water that you couldn't see. And God was, because he was far away, was skipping on these rocks. And the term was called escapade, as though he was gliding on the water. Believe that if you want to, I don't. Amen. I believe that, like I told you before, God is omnipotent. I believe he was walking on water because he defies gravity. Anything God wants to do, he can do it. How he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, where he wants to do it, and he can do it to whoever he wants to do it with because he is God. He that what I like to call the apex, that mathematical term means he at the very top. If somebody is above you, you ain't at the top. You're not at the apex. All you math teachers, if you're at the apex, there's no one above you. Well, that's God. Ain't nobody above him. He is all by himself. Amen. And while he was walking, he saw the boat. He saw that the disciples in trouble. When he got there,
I love this part.
When he got there, these men were tired, but obviously Peter must have halfway knew something. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out." Now, this is the key, think about it. Jesus said, "Come." Now, I think about this scripture. My sheep knows my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So Peter must at least, Jesus' voice must at least sound familiar. I'm not finna jump in the water if a stranger tell me to come out. That ain't happening, brothers, sisters, I ain't doing it. Especially that kind of weather. So Peter must have at least had a relation. He must have understood Jesus' voice. It must have sounded vaguely familiar. Let me tell you a quick story. We had a dog called Oreo. I don't have to tell you what color he was, because he was black and white. Yeah, white in the middle, Oreo. Well, the thing about Oreo is my wife's dog. We didn't get along. Oreo wouldn't let me get around my girls. He about that big, I kick him out the eye, but I ain't do that. Oreo would, if I get around Natasha, you little knucklehead, I help feed you. But he would not. One day Oreo got lost. We couldn't find Oreo. We was going all over Port St. Lucie. Larry walking around with a hand on the hair, Oreo crying. I said, "Lord, please let's find this dog so I can have some peace." Oreo, we putting out flyers, Oreo. I'm like, I said, "Oreo, wherever you at, you better hurry and get here." I was getting mad. 11, 12 o'clock, one of us said, "Hey, come on, y'all, let's try this again tomorrow." Okay, all right, let's go. We go back another hour. And lo and behold, there was this ditch bank that was dried up with mud and everything. We see this muddy-looking dog that had been gone for a couple of days. And my daughter said, "I think that's him, Dad." I said, "Well, yell at him." And he was walking and walking. He had lost weight. And she hollered, "Oreo!" Oreo ears went up like antennas. Oreo turned toward that voice. And took off because he recognized the voice. You hear me? He knew that familiar voice of my daughter's. Oreo, he come running. He didn't care about the mud, whether the snake, whatever's in there. He was going towards that voice that he recognized. What are you saying, brother preacher? If you have a good relationship with God and you hear his voice, the Bible says that the sheep knows his voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. But you gotta have that relationship. Peter came out of the boat. But Peter was laser focused. His eyes was on Jesus. His eyes was on the prize. When Peter came out, Peter was standing on water. Peter was walking on water. Why, brother preacher? Because his eyes was laser focused on the prize. His eyes was on Jesus. But oh, when the wind started blowing, when the waves started coming, oh, Peter got sidetracked. Peter realized that, hey, it's danger out here. Hey, the winds are blowing. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and put his eyes on the distraction and began to sink. I'm telling y'all here today, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Even in the midst of this pandemic, keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me tell you something. Not all of us are going to make it. But if you're a believer, you'll make it. My dad going on. He ain't here to deal with this. I am. But I'm going to try to keep my eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of distraction, my brothers and sisters. You can turn on the TV. You don't got to leave home. Turn on the TV and get all kind of distractions. Turn on the TV and get all kind of lies, get all kind of truth. You have to know that you know what to do and what to discount. If you keep that relationship, you'll know what to listen to. Certain channels, I don't even turn to no more because I can predict what they're going to say. Say the same thing every day. That's just the way it is. I'm going to say this, I'm going to move on because I might touch some nerves. Fox News versus MSNBC. If I turn here, I know what they're going to say. If I turn here, I know what they're going to say. You know what I do? I don't listen to that. I find me some TBN. I go pick up a Bible because I got that relationship and I know he will reveal to me. There's some things God has shown me that I see it happening. Sometimes I get goosebumps on me because the Lord, no, that ain't just happened. And I'm saying to myself, yes, it did. I'm saying, you know what? He showed it to me. He said it would. I was telling a preacher, a friend of mine in Georgia, Spot Spring, Georgia, got a decent church. I was telling him I asked God to do something and it happened. And I called him back and I was just going off and I was all hyped up. He said, Brother Drayton, why are you so surprised? You asked him? He said, you asked him? I tell you why you get surprised sometimes. Sometimes the answer ain't always what we want it to be. You ask God for some things, and sometimes, you know, be careful what you ask for. Amen. Oh, ask Goliath. He wanted to fight against little old David. Yeah, David chopped his head off. Be careful what you ask for. Amen. Anyway, when Peter stepped out on the water, let's not hold you too long, and began to walk, he got distracted. The wind started blowing, lost his balance, got scared. Who wouldn't? All these waves. But see, the thing about it is this. Some people say, well, God didn't sink. Peter didn't either. Read the Bible. Peter was sinking. He did not sink. See, when you study God's word, you have to, this is what I do when I get ready to preach. I have my commentaries. I have a Zirconian dictionary, Bible. I have all kinds of stuff. And sometimes you have to go and look up these words. He was sinking, but he did not sink. He was going down. Lord, save me. Jesus reached out and grabbed him. A lot of us are sinking. A lot of us are sinking. Cancer might be causing you to sink. High blood pressure might cause you to be sinking. Finances may cause you to be sinking. But as long as God is King Jesus and he reached out and he said, Lord, save me, and he grabbed you and picked you up, you have not sinked. God Almighty. Sinking, sinking, sinking. I'd be sinking every day. Somebody did wrong. I said, Lord, save me. Please save me. I'm above ground. I ain't made it yet. I'm still here. One of my friends say, man, you know, brother preacher, you know, I don't know, man. Say, you think we done missed it? I said, no. Why? Because I'm still here. Please. Amen. They ain't going to leave me. No. You all right, bro. If you ain't all right, get right, because I'm still here. What the Bible tells me in Revelation say, hey, when the rapture comes, good God, huh? Y'all all right too. We still here. But God has a purpose for all of us. Come to church. Encourage your brothers and sisters. Encourage one another. Amen. Amen. Pray. Pray for one another. You know, we always say, you know, we ask for those that are in need of prayer, praise report. The names that don't be called, we can't sit up here all day because if we really think about it, we can sit here all day and call out people that need prayer. They don't have to be sick to need prayer. I was trying to get down to Sunday school this morning when Brother Jim was praying. I had a little cane, I was like halfway downstairs and he was praying. I'm like, well, I better stop. Steve told me, shh. He was praying. I said, hey, bro. Pray for my ankle too. But I said, okay, well, I know who I am and I know whose I am. I said, I go up and pray myself. Lay my own hands and pray it on. Pray for it. Amen. You can pray for yourself. Don't worry, I did it last week. I understand.
It happens, you know, but we have to understand that even in these pandemic times, you're going to go through some things. But as you go through these things, keep focused and keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused in all that you do. And if somebody comes up and try to be negative, stay focused. Because I can't go to and die for my daughters. If God called Lorenzo Lewis Drayton today, I know I'm ready. I believe my daughter. I don't know, but I know me. I know the life I live. I know the example I tried to set for them. But I got one every time I call her, she in a different place. She gone. Dad, I got to live my life. That's Natasha. Okay, but you better be safe, be careful, and stay prayed up. Because young folks are dying just like older people.
Amen.
If you look out in the cemetery, some young ones, some old ones in between. So, hey, you don't know the day or the hour when your time is coming. So stay prayed up. Amen, somebody. I'm almost done.
Amen.
But see, because I realize this, that the one I'm telling y'all to stay focused on and keep your eyes on is the same one that came down about 2,000 years ago. It's the same God that came down in that the Romans led to Golgotha's hill. He's the same one that they took and they hung him up high and they stretched him wide. It's the same God. It's the same one that when they dropped him in the hollow of the grave, he said in his word, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll build it up again. When they hung him on the cross, they hung him up for my sins, your sins, the sins of the church, everybody, if you're a believer. But when he rose up, I like to say I rose up with him. Amen, somebody. He gave me an opportunity. He gave me a way out of this mess. He gave me a way to be in his kingdom, which is my ultimate goal. Amen. God is all powerful. God died for your sins. He died. Oh, but when he rose. See, you can't say that about Buddha, Mahatma Gandhi, Allah, all these people. But you can say that about God. Most of these people that I called out, you can go to their grave. But if you go to God, is the empty tomb? Where is he? Where is he?
He rose.
Ascended. God Almighty, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
I just like to say, y'all, if you don't know him for yourself, it's a good time right now, today, to get to know Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is in Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is who?
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
I didn't hear you.
Jesus.
Now, if you are a Dolphin fan, I'm a Cowboy fan. It is what it is. If you're not there cheering, I don't know how many Dolphin fans we got. I better not go that route. I might get stabbed in the back. Well, I'm going to say it anyhow. Say it like you had a football game. Jesus!
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. I see you look like you came. I need to be all right.